This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
And I just want to mention two more stories that really moved me. One of them was a sister. She's now 19 years old. When she was 16, she wrote an email to this group of brothers who have a page on Facebook, which is in Hebrew, Da'wah to Islam. And she says, I have decided to convert to Islam. And the group emailed back, look, we can't do anything. We cannot do anything. You are a minor and we cannot get into any trouble. Best of luck and goodbye. She kept on emailing fiqhi questions, aqeedah questions, and they have to answer just simple questions, right? She began to pray in her own house, in her closet, at the age of 16. She began to get material online from them. And I was with the brother who eventually, there was a family, an elderly man and woman, they're living in outside of Jerusalem, and they found, or the group that is the da'wah group, they found a family that at great risk to them would be willing to take in this young girl. This young girl, the night she turned 18, because they said we can't do anything legally, we don't want any trouble. The night she turned 18, she packed her bags, went to a phone booth, called the brother and said, I'm standing here, you told me when I'm 18 it would be legal, I'm 18, come pick me up. I cannot be with my family anymore. The brother became very worried, what is this, a trap, what not? Because obviously it's very dangerous, right? And he went with a group of family, sisters, whatnot. They found out everything seems legit, whatnot. She says, I need a place. I cannot be at home. I'm not allowed to pray. They're forcing me to do this and that. I need to get out to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made a few phone calls. A family agreed with great risk to them to take this young lady in. And she's now learning Arabic, memorizing Quran. In that country, when you're 18, you have to go to the military and army. And her papers came. The family said, look, we're not going to do anything. This is between you and the government. Because again, they understand you cannot risk your life, right? She said, fine, give me my paperwork and I'm going to go. Wearing my hijab and telling them I'm a Muslim. She went to the military. And she and the brother told me, the brother was saying, Ya akhi wallahi ana tarak, in Arabic, he said, I swear I left her a mile outside. I didn't want to go close to the post. I just dropped her. I said, call me when you're done. Because they're scared for their own lives, right? So the elderly couple, they left her outside. She walked to the post wearing hijab. She handed the papers of the, you know, conscription. And she goes, by the way, I'm a Muslim. So you should know that before you do anything else. For 3 months, her case went back and forth. What should they do? Until finally they gave her a letter that for reasons, for whatever, we don't need you to work in the army. But the courage she must have had to walk in and to be who she is. And now she's memorizing the Quran, learning Arabic. Her Arabic was better than her English when she's talking to me. And subhanAllah, just mind-boggling for me to meet somebody like this. There was one of the people there. There was some brothers and four or five sisters. As usual, there are more sisters who convert, even in that society. And there was one sister who was very quiet. She didn't say a single word. Not a single word while we were there other than salam. She's like third generation now, living in that land. She speaks fluent Hebrew, but she doesn't speak English. So it was being translated in Hebrew to me by the middle man, the brother there. This lady in her 30s, she was the wife of a rabbi. She decided to convert to Islam after reading it on her own, studying it and whatnot. Her husband, when he found out, of course, divorced her, threatened her, and then took them to court that my wife is mentally insane and she has to be deprived of her children. She had three children. This mother has not seen her children for 3 years. Because the husband has said that she's dangerous to the kids because now she has embraced Islam. And she said to me, this lady, that wallahi, I swear if they threw me in jail, I will not give up Islam. If they threw me into a cave and abandoned me, I would not give up Islam. She voluntarily gave up her three children. She did not lie for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did not say an untruth. She just said, I'm a Muslim. And because of that, they took her children away from her. Here we are, we cannot even give up our sins, brothers and sisters. You know, we cannot give up anything for Islam. But here is a lady, and she did not even grow up in a Muslim household. And she told me, if they throw me in jail, or they throw me into a cave and abandon me, I will not give up Islam. And you know, you hear these stories from Bilal ibn Rabah, and I'm not comparing, astaghfirullah, this to that. But you know, we've kind of sort of lost that level of iman in our Muslim societies. When's the last time you met somebody with that level of iman? We've kind of lost that persecution iman. But to meet these people in the very land that we know is the land of Mahshar and the land of Ard al-Mubarak, to meet the people, and they said to me, their families don't just view them as converts, their families view them as traitors. They have left the society and they have nowhere to go. They're being taken care of by poor Muslims here and there, and they're giving up their society, their luxury, their life, and in this case, their children, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is not going to cause us to appreciate the blessings of Islam, then what will?
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhul ya man ahala an-nar hawl khalilihi rawhan wa rayhanan bi qawlika kun.